We could probably make it a two-hour show. Most of you would hang in there with us, but I got a lot on the plate today. Went with a new hat today, different America Needs Jesus. I think everybody would know that. I was telling the guys here in the queue, we're having a concert. We live out in the country, and there's an amphitheater just over, I don't know, it's a mile. As a crow flies, it's probably a half mile. And they have a concert here this weekend. It's the most darkest event that I think I've ever seen around this area. 30,000 lost young people. Oh my goodness. If you just walk down to it and see it, you wouldn't believe it. And the boom, 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 boom music. It was all bass. In fact, I don't know the genre of the music. It's centered on the bass. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm telling you, our little canyon here just boom all night, about midnight. Crazy, crazy. You know what told me? World is lost, man. Oh man, 30,000 out here, and gonna be here three nights. So I guess I'll have to choose my sleep accordingly. Wanna jump in here real quick? Oh, man, I got a lot of things to talk about today. Really, really lit some fires yesterday. We had some great discussion. We had a great discussion off the air yesterday. It was really one of the amazing things. And I want to come back and I want to touch bases on what we spoke about yesterday. And what we spoke about yesterday is unruly adult children, basically unruly adult children, and how we should be dealing with unruly adult children. And the whole premise or the whole genesis that I jumped on off on or leapt off at was that our children are a mess because we've permitted them to be a mess. That's where I jumped off. And the whole premise that I was trying to make yesterday, this did not come down to whether or not you should have nothing to do with your children, although that became the discussion. That really wasn't it. And I'm not afraid to go back and talk about that a little bit. The point I was trying to make is our children are a product of how we live out our children learn their faith from us. And if we were smart enough to realize this, guys, here's what I want us to see. We need to reform the church. We need to bring discipline back to the church. We need to bring discipline back to the home. We need to bring discipline back in general.
Amen.
And the point I was making is, as I look at my own family, and none of us, I would say that everybody here in this queue, I could be wrong, 90% of us, I just do that number out, in this queue, who have adult children, have dealt with rebellion in their adult children. I just say that that's probably a pretty common denominator. And then the question that I threw out there yesterday is, why are they rebellious? And they're rebellious because, number one, we accept their rebellion. And we've accepted their rebellion from the time that they were probably 10, 11, 12. When they got in their teen years, we accepted their rebellion. And now we look up and they're 30 years, 35, 30, 40 years old. They're living in sin. They're living not for the Lord. And the question was, number one, how did this happen? Well, it happened because we didn't draw the line. And then that moved into, okay, should they be welcome in our houses? The word says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, right? And that someone that says in the scriptures that someone we're not even to eat with them. Now, I understand this is talking about a church body. I understand that the most of the discipline things that we're talking about in the scriptures in the New Testament are discipline for the church body. Okay? I get that. But the same thing applies in your own family. It applies in your own family. And my wife said to me yesterday, after she listens to the show, she said that she felt, but by the way, you won't believe the number of emails I got, thumbs up. Oh boy, Coach, did we need to hear that? And boy, am I scratching my head. So for every thumbs up, there were a few thumbs down. And my wife said, you know, you gave the impression that we are, that isn't how she said it. She said it would be easy to come away with the impression that we're supposed to reject and get rid of our adult children who are rebellious. And that one, when I said, I got one. We love him. But there's certain things that we tolerate in our home in regards to him that we shouldn't tolerate. And I got into living together and sleeping together and fornicating and all that kind of stuff, and whether or not we ought to bring that stuff into our home and accept that stuff in our home. And it does have anything to do with whether I love them or whether I'm not going to have anything to do with them. But as as Big Rich said before we went on here, you either have standards or you don't, folks. We either have standards or we don't. And if we don't live by and enforce those standards, then we don't really have standards. And the point that I was trying to make, and I'm going to give you all a chance to jump in here real quick, and then I want to move on. We can talk about it on Monday. The point that I was trying to make is our children are rebellious because we have permitted them to be rebellious. Amen. And our children's faith is not as deep because they look at us and they understand we compromise our values. We compromise our values to accommodate their rebellion. That's the point that I was trying to make. Not whether or not my son's welcome to come over to Thanksgiving, but that is a question we ought to ask ourselves, isn't it? Not whether or not somebody is sleeping with my daughter out of wedlock, should I then buy him some chicken at my kitchen table? Hey guys, you can get as uncomfortable as you want to with that. Those are some really, really serious issues that if we live by standards, we're going to have to deal with. Otherwise, Steve, I believe, if you go back, what they call them old-fashioned values. Why do they call them old-fashioned values? Because they used to be the values. They used to be the values. And each preceding generation compromises on those old-fashioned values. In fact, they are calling Judge Roy Moore I don't even know what term they can give to Judge Roy Moore. See, they don't understand that there are people who believe just like Judge Moore. We believe just like him. They don't understand that. They're calling him a Neanderthal, an extremist. He believes what I believe. He believes what most of the people who voted for Trump. He believes what they believe, see?
Amen.
And those are those old-fashioned values. And the Trump effect, the Trump impact that's going on in America is we're saying, bring back those old-fashioned values. We're tired of our children living in sin. We're tired of our family values being attacked everywhere we go. We're tired of that. Help us bring back some of these things that we've lost. Stand up against this godless government. That's the Trump effect. That's Amen. Judge Roy Moore. Yep. And that old-fashioned religion, those old-fashioned values. Larry was just talking about a family. Tell us that story, Larry, real quickly. When I say that in love, real quick. About the big kitchen table, Larry. I don't know, he's not there. I thought he was there earlier. He told me the story. That's how I knew he was there. The big kitchen table. Remember when everybody used to sit down on the big families, the big kitchen tables? And everything was discussed at the kitchen table. You remember watching John Boy and his family all eating at the kitchen? Those were old-fashioned values. And they didn't have the rebellion. Now, we didn't have the rebellion because we didn't have as many things attacking us. TV and the internet and pornography and Hugh Hefner, all that stuff is attacking us. It's all attacking us. And so the idea of the parent is we have to accept it. It's the new culture. No, that's what it means to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what it means to occupy till he returns. That's what it means to endure to the end.
When I walked into that kitchen, and I knew the fella had 12 children because I'd heard the story driving his sister up to Philadelphia because she didn't want to drive that far. She's 80-something years old. And but she bought a car for her brother because her brother's van had run across bad times. But anyway, I walked into that kitchen. It's a huge kitchen and one big long table, six chairs down each side and a chair at each end. And first thought that hit my mind is, man, what a quiverful.
Isn't that something, Larry? Let me tell you something. My wife, my God, I love my wife so much. I know she's up there with our grandbabies even right now. We built a new home. Most of you know that. We downsized. We built a new home. And the only thing that my wife wanted was a big kitchen table. You come to our house. It's got like four leaves in it, right? And I said, why do we need that big a table? And it's just me and you. She says, no, our grandbabies are going to come over, and they're going to sit at this table with us. The vision of my wife to see that we all sit down at this. Somebody doesn't go over and watch TV and eat a meal, and somebody go downstairs and eat a meal, and somebody go over in this corner and get on the phone. No. We're going to sit down at this big table, and we as a family are going to eat. See, those guys, those are old-fashioned values. And what they've done to us is they've convinced us old-fashioned values are not as good as a new-fashioned value. That was the point that I was trying to make yesterday. Now, the whole debate about how we should handle unruly children, that's a whole nother show. That wasn't really where I was going to yesterday, but we can go there, and maybe we'll go there on Monday. So let me open it up here. Comments. questions, concerns, whatever. Jump in here real quick.
Hey, Coach. It's listen, yep. Like Chris Matthews tried to call. Yeah, he called Judge Roy Moore a Neanderthal.
What Neanderthal?
Well, he's ridiculous. Basically, what he's trying to do, telling us old-fashioned good values. Good values are no good in this new globalist area arena. And we say we throw out the globalist arena. We don't care about that crap.
Anti-Christian globalist arena, right, Vince? Anti-Christian globalist.
That's right.
Dual. Some of us hate globalism, but a lot of them hate Christianity. Most of those who like globalism hate Christianity. So those two are intertwined. We can't lose sight of that. They hate Judge Moore not because he's an anti-globalist, but because he's a Christian.
That's
he
right.
He stands on Christian values and say our values come from God. Old-fashioned values. In every generation, we lose some. Great point, Vince. Somebody else?
It's our responsibility to be a leader, the leader in our homes. And when our grown children veer off from the truth, from the narrow path, it is our duty to stand firm for the gospel, no matter what it costs. I love Christ more than I love my son.
First commandment before the second commandment. Big Rich, jump in here a second, because you're the one who mentioned when we were off air about values. If you don't have values, you don't what? If you don't have them, you don't have them. You don't have principles.
Right. Go ahead, Rich. Yeah, any value you compromise is no longer considered a value. But I've always looked at it from my study of Scripture. It all comes back to our motive of our heart is to please our God and live by His standards. And if my child were to call me and say, hey, I'm a homosexual, it that does not line up with my values. And my child, young or old, doesn't make any difference. His eternal destination is more important to me than my earthly relationship with him. I have a responsibility to train him in the way he should go.
Amen.
Right. And I take that seriously because I serve a God that commands that.
Now, can I throw something in here from the Word?
And love them enough to tell them the truth. I mean,
you still love them. You still love them. See, we got this whole mixed up idea of love, right? I still pray for them. I still love them. But at what point do you lower your standards to accept their sin? Go, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to take a couple of parts of Scripture here for just a quick 1 minute and kind of illuminate them and then make a comment. First of all, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go.
Amen.
There's all kinds of instructions throughout the Bible of how parents are to raise their kids. But it is the child, the young child, the young kid that...
when they get old, they won't depart from it.
Right, but we're not to train up the adults.
We're not supposed to be disciplining 35-year-old children.
Correct, and there's specific scripture that covers a situation that covers that, and that's Numbers chapter 30, and that's the chapter that explains about vows, people making vows to God, and fathers, if they hear their daughters make a vow, either to God or to somebody else, you know, if the words of their mouth commit them to something, if the father hears that vow, and at the time that he hears it on that day, if he disqualifies it, if he says, no, that doesn't count. Yep. She's my daughter. She's in my house. That vow has no standing. You can forget it. Don't take that one to the bank. If he doesn't do it that day, then her words obligate her.
Dale Socius, Pastor Dale spoke about that yesterday, right?
And the same thing goes for husbands and wives. If the husband hears the wife making a vow, he can dissolve it right away, right then and there. But if he doesn't do it at that time, then her words become the contract. But the husband can keep the contract from going into effect.
So when I stand up in my home and say that, let's say my daughter is living.
You got muted, Coach.
Sorry, folks, sometimes that gets muted. I don't know how it happened. If my daughters are both married, but if they were living with a man. They're both wrong. The man and the woman are both wrong when they're living together. But if my husband, my daughter and a boyfriend are living together, and I accept that into my home, then what are my values? What are my values? I love my children more than I love the values of the Lord. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about where they are. I'm trying to get you to take a spiritual reassessment of the compromise that we've been taught to accept. The compromise, folks, the compromise began in the church.
I'd like to address that aspect of it for a question is my comment about the scriptures that I brought out. And that is this. Once we've allowed things to happen, it's too late for that particular thing to take care of. But here's it, to correct it. The Bible gives us responsibilities to do the correction on the spot as we're raising our children, etc. But the thing is once we've failed in that area and down the road, we see circumstances like you talked about that are there that we know are wrong, but what do we do about it? And, you know,
the
general answer is prayer. But here's the thing. People in the quote church out there, especially in the United States, have been taught to pray about stuff, not for stuff. People have been taught in their prayers to dictate to God the circumstances, situations, and events that they think need to happen, instead of trusting God to come up with his own scenario and his own events and his own.
Amen, Larry.
His will be done. His will be done. Listen, I don't want to get buried on this subject. We'll pick it up another day. I just ask, this is the way that I look at it. This came today. I was thinking about this. This was a great discussion yesterday. If I don't want adulterers sitting beside me in church, why do I want them sitting beside me at home? And the reason is we hate other people's sin more than we hate our own. That's exactly what it comes down to. If I don't want two people shacking up beside me, sitting beside me in church, then why do I want two people shacking together, sitting beside me at my table? Can somebody give me an answer on that one? Compartmental Christianity. Hey, I want to move on here. I got a couple things I want to share. We'll pick this up. We'll pick this up later.
Hey, Coach, can I mention before you do?
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
Today is no YouTube day. Right, so a lot of people are not going to, be using YouTube. But I say we use YouTube to pass your message along today.
How we do that, Vince? How we do that?
You gonna pass Pass Assault Ministries links?
Everybody send it out. Everybody send it out. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm sending them out every morning anyway. So, listen, I got so much to talk about. But I got some exciting stuff. I want to show you two things here, Jared. I want you to I think I sent this to you. No, I didn't, Jared. I got to read this to you. No, hey Jared, I'm going to send this to you, so everybody can follow along. I'm sorry, I don't have this already ready. Hang in there, Tim. I'm coming your way. Okay, Jared, I just sent you an email. I want you to pull up on the screen. Hey, folks, I'm encouraged this morning because I know we're making a difference. I know we don't see it. I know we should not despise the days of small beginnings. We're making a difference. I know. I just know that we are. The email, I got several emails yesterday from people, thumbs up. Coach, boy, what you were talking about yesterday hit me.
Got it.
It hit me dead square. Pull that up there. I know that Brian will not mind me sharing this email with all of you. I know he won't. Brian came down to...
Wait 1 second. Hold up. Be 30 seconds. So I'll get it up.
Okay. Brian Cunningham came down from, he listens to the show. So Brian, God bless you, man. I know that you don't mind me sharing this or I wouldn't share it. Brian showed up down in Rockport. And I still have a mental block on that. And he served. Been a couple days down there with us. Never done anything like that. Remember, I'm telling you guys, I'm always after the heart of men. That's what I want to do, to see men more live out their faith. I got this email from Brian today. stay with me here, okay? I would have Joe Silver read it, but I'll go ahead and do it. Hey, hello, Coach. Thank you for getting the opportunity set up to go to Rockport. I'll be forever affected by the experience. On my way home, I felt like turning around and going back to Corpus to help Jim and Ray and Jim Bob and Big Rich. I'm debating my next trip down to Houston to bring my son. He's a good young man, and he graduates this year, but he needs a swift kick in the pants before he goes to college to wake him up. I appreciate the men, Sarah and EQ, and all of you have been inspiration to me. I feel like I know all of you since I went back and listened to all the podcasts on iTunes. I even took Larry up on his offer to go through this time that he set up on prayer. Listening to your podcast helped me make the decision to have my wife homeschool our five-year-old son. We have, for the most part, sent our kids to private Christian schools, but they're not what they used to be when our older children went to school. My 8-year-old daughter is currently enrolled in private school, but I'm praying and considering taking her out, having my wife homeschool her also. Today, I listened to the show, Wednesday show, and I felt I needed to share. When I was getting ready on Saturday morning prior to driving down to Rockport, the attack started on not going. I'm so glad that I went. I think that is one of the major roadblocks, one major problems with people. They have good intentions to do something, but they let the roadblocks get in their way. I think there's a saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We've become a society of learned helplessness, and the enemy has us right where they want us. I used to be concerned about being on the radar, et cetera, but I realized, heck, they already know who I am. The wake-up call that everybody needs to realize is that if they are not out in the streets acting like a bunch of heathens, then you are on their list of some sort. Even those guys are because look at what happened to the brown shirt. So if you're not in the game, then the enemy's won. Thank you, Coach, for putting me in the game and helping break me out of just wanting to sit on the bench. Tell Michelle I said hi. Hello, and she's a sweetheart. God bless you and your family. Brian Cunningham, walking out his faith for the first time. I would imagine this could be repeated over and over. I want to share another one with you here. Stay with me. I've got to find it. I got an email a couple days ago. I get a lot of these, and I'm not making fun of anybody that sends them to me. Now, of course, I can't find it. Because I got so many of them here. I got an email from Tim. Tim says, Coach, I just got to fill you in on what's going on. I'm paraphrasing. I just got to fill you in on what's going on. Please give me a call. Well, I get a lot of them. And I call them. I always call. And I called and got in contact, picked up the phone, Tim Adams. I don't know Tim Adams. I don't know Tim Adams from Adam. But I got on the phone with him, and he told me a story that, my goodness. So Tim Adams is with us today from Pompano, California, out of Los Angeles. He got up live this morning. And Tim, I want you to share with the guys here in the queue what you shared with me in our conversation the other day, including what you guys got going on there in Pompano. So Tim, welcome to the queue. The floor is yours here.
You need to unmute yourself. Oh, he's good. Yep.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me? Tim Adams.
Yes, we can, Tim. We can.
All right. Great. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, folks, he's a TA at the bottom of the screen there. If you want to see his face, TA. Okay, go, Tim.
Hey, I just wanted to, first of all, lift you up in your ministry and let you know that you've had a direct impact on my life. And sometimes we as Christians forget that more is caught than taught. And, it's not just that you give us a pep talk here and there. You're out in the field. You're in the highways, the byways, rolling up your sleeve. And I respect that in a man. And I started reflecting upon that. And, several years ago, I had to change churches because of the fact that I started to lose respect for the men in that church. Love them dearly, but goodness, we got real candy. It just got so soft on the ears and just so comfortable, I guess I'd say. And And the churches were so focused on bunco parties and bingo parties and bowling leagues and the next soccer game and the get-togethers and such. So, but I'm like, this is about the same time that movie came out, that the little videos came out with Planned Parenthood, Centers for Medical Progress. It was a Troy Newman production. He's part of that. And I sat there and watched one of those videos where they were two women drinking a glass of wine, discussing how they were selling off baby body parts. And I hung my head, and I'm telling you, I don't know what it was, but just tears fell out of my eyes. I was so shook to the core. And so I went to the church immediately, and I says, you know what, guys, we got to do something. We got to do something. And my church has thousands of people there. I'm like, we're going to easily do something big. So I got there, rounded up a few people. We went up to the leadership, and the leadership said, you know what? Slow down there, you know.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what do you mean slow down? This is like a 5-alarm fire going off in the country, and the bells are ringing in every firehouse, and the church is like the fire department. And I says, no, we got to rise up now. Can't you see there's smoke, there's fire in the communities? And he said, and I'm not going to tell you, but we had a leader that told me basically, yeah, we've got fire trucks, we've got great equipment, we've got ladders. And he says, but we're lacking one big thing. And I says, what's that? He goes, we're lacking the men. I'm like, what? You're lacking the men? And I looked around, I held, holy smokes. He's right. I looked around, and what I saw was a bunch of Samsons with their hair cut, spiritual hair. Wow. And I says, holy smokes, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? So I ran down to grabbed a few friends of mine. We ran down to Planned Parenthood. I'm no expert on Planned Parenthood. I don't know how to counsel somebody or street minister to anybody. I'm just a layman. So I get out there to Planned Parenthood, and I says, okay, God, we're just operating in faith. You know, I know there's a fire here. Maybe we can save somebody. We got out there, and literally a young man in his early 20s, he could tell he had had a hard life. He rolled in hard on Planned Parenthood. He drove in fast, darn near hit me on the way in. And he came out of his car, and he crushed out his cigarette, and his girlfriend popped out on the other side, and you could tell they were arguing with each other. She ran into Planned Parenthood. We moseyed our way over to him, and we just kind of started talking to him. And I literally, now this guy's 6'4", and I felt like 3'2", looking up to him. But you know what? For whatever reason, these words started coming out. Dude, what are you doing? You're letting your lady run in there and kill your child? Are you crazy? What kind of man are you? And before I, I was like getting ready to duck because I thought he'd swing.
You know? But he saw your long hair though, Tim.
That's what it was. You know what, Coach? I'm telling you, we have to get courage, because you know what? He respected that. And he said, you know what? This was the only option we thought we had. And he said, sir, I don't know you from Adam, but he says, on my way here, I prayed that God would send somebody to tell me not to do this. And I says, sir, I came from God himself to tell you not to do this. And so he goes, well, I don't know. I just texted her. She's in the building. It's too late. They got her in the back room. And a lady who went with me, a good friend of mine, she screamed out of somewhere. The Holy Spirit got a hold of her vocal cords. It shattered us. She says, well, go get him. And well, go get her, he said, as she said. So he stopped everything. I said, yeah, you go in and get her. You go get her now. Kick the door down if you have to. And he ran inside of there, Coach. When he walked out, I'm telling you what, it was like watching somebody come out of a burning building. And my heart just melted. I'm praising God. He came back to his car. I said, listen, let's get together. Let's have lunch. let's just have a man-to-man pep talk. Let's get your life together. He was off parole. He was having a hard time with life. We met a few times after that. And I'm going to tell you, I held that baby Christmas time this last year for the first time. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more invigorating than saving a child. And I'm going to tell you something. Lowell is madly in love with his baby daughter. She is precious. And it just invigorated me. And it just, look, I'm just one man from the church. Had the church risen up at large, had we had 100 men, had we had 500 men, can you imagine the impact we could make? I'm just one little guy. I'm Joe the plumber. Now I switched churches. I've been going there since I was a little kid. 36 years I went to that church. And I'll tell you right now, I went to another church out in Chino Hills as a Calvary pastor, Jack Hibbs, and here's a courageous guy. And I'm going to tell you, I says, there's nothing more invigorating than being under a pastor who is practicing what he's preaching. He's not only giving you a good sermon on Sunday, but Monday morning, he's ripping off his robe, he's grabbing his musket, and he's getting out into the fields defending the defenseless. And that's what Pastor Jack was doing. And so he said one Sunday morning, I want you to take Planned Parenthood down in Pomona.
And he told you that, Tim?
He wanted somebody to rise up in the church, and the Lord laid on my heart, that man is you. And I said, whoa, that's way above my pay grade, but it doesn't matter if it's above your pay grade, because if God is for you, there is nothing that's going to stop you. He took the Lord took me through a series of events that instilled courage in my heart. And one of those events is running into you and your ministry and listening to a coach. I'm like, you know what? Coach is right. These men in church have become pacified little babies, and they need assistant coaches. And so I've taken some of your concepts and ideas, and I took it as an assistant coach, and I'm like, okay, guys, we need to rally because we need to shut down Planned Parenthood Pomona. And so they started a core group and worked our way.
Your pastor commissioned you to start a group.
Can you believe that? Now, that is a bold pastor. That is a bold pastor. And so he basically wanted us to rise up and get bold and get into our community. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, Pomona is about an hour from where I'm at. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That's my Nineveh. I may not want to be there, like it or not. That's my calling. That's where I'm going. We rose up there. And for whatever reason, it was on my heart, okay, we got to get to a council meeting. Let's get to the halls of power within this community and find out what's going on. And what I found there was zero Christians that were representing God or his authority in the halls of power within our civic center of Pomona. And so I said, this has got to change. We had a rally there where I declared war against abortion in the city of Pomona.
Amen.
Pomona will not tolerate, nor will its members or children or uncles or aunts or anybody. We're not going to tolerate abortion in the city limits of Pomona, that precious spilt blood, no more.
Amen.
So we declared war at public session to city council. And I'm going to tell you what, we are starting to incrementally find out what council member is pro-choice or pro-murder. Let's just call it what it is. And we're like, okay, you know what? The pro-life council members, you know what? You guys are probably making better decisions. But those pro-choice council members, you know what? We'll see you on the next election day, because I'm going to tell you what. We started rising up pastors. We set up a calendar. It's on the OperationPomona.com website. And now we went from zero Christians engaging their city hall to at every single council meeting, there will be a pastor there praying. There will be a pastor there rebuking abortion within their city.
Amen.
There, it was a pastor last Monday at the council meeting, and he is letting them know that God will be holding them accountable for allowing this to happen on their shift, that they need to do something. So it has been incredibly powerful. And one of the cool things about this I discovered was, you know, the church rises up, the body of Christ rises up behind, you know, the pro-life movement. And we can put aside this whole denominationalism garbage and focus on acting like true Christians when we have such a great cause as the pro-life movement. So we were able to gather quite a few pastors in the community, and we met together. We called it an emergency clergy response team, and these pastors have been rising their churches up. Now they're rebuking and preaching against abortion within their churches. They weren't even preaching against abortion in their churches. So you would go to Planned Parenthood and you'd see people driving into the driveway with the little church stickers on the back of their cars.
Amen.
And you're like, what is this? Don't you go to church? Well, if I go to church, but I don't ever hear anything about doing anything like this, there's nothing. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is murder. And of course the churches begin, you know, there is something that happened in the 80s that really messed up the church. And it was this whole idea of there's two things we're not going to talk about, and that's politics and religion. Now, you'd hear that at church.
You would. Tim, can I stop you a second there? Somebody's got a question for you. Jared, while the question is getting ready, pull up that website. Folks, Tim's going to crack open some more stuff to us, but I want you to see this website that – these guys are fighting, man, and it started with one guy. Just one guy said, somebody's got to do something here. And so the website is, give it to me again, Tim.
OperationPomona.com.
Go to that one. And then was it you, JR? Somebody had a question. See if we can get the website up there. There it is. Go ahead. Whoever had that question.
Well, I had a comment. Attaboy, Tim. That's my first comment. Second one is when you said that you were just one man among a church, and I think you mentioned something like 30,000 or something like that, but you know what? You individually were the church. If there happens to be more true church members in those 30,000, I just hope the Holy Spirit leads you to tell them to come out from among them.
Amen.
Because
anytime you
see 30,000 people gathered under a banner that proclaims to be Christ, and there's no Christ actions going on, that's a big red flag for me. There's no way on earth is God in control or the Spirit in control of what's going on in that assembly.
Hey, Tim, we've got your page up there, OperationPomona.com. Take us through here, Tim. You guys got something going, says October 7th. 10 a.m. meet at City Hall. Folks, keep in mind this, will you? This is one guy in his town that said, I've had enough of it. And he went to his pastor and said, what's wrong with you, pastor? What's wrong with you, men? And he decided that he was going to do something about it. Look at this, being Absolutely. Salt and light to the community we love. Pastors United for Life, Saturday, October 7th, 2017, 10 a.m. starts at City Hall. Tell us what it's about, Tim.
Amen. You know, this right here, the Grab Your Church Members document that he's rolling up the screen right now, that is the story that I basically just told. And of course, I'm not naming names because I loved my church dearly as I grew up in it. And I'm not pointing any fingers anywhere. It was just the apathy that had fallen upon all of us at one time. And it took a coach like you to help us snap out of our fog. And, you know, it's like, when Samson was being attacked, hey, the Philistines are upon you. We have to break the bonds that are the cords that are tying us down. And although that church was only 3,000, I know, I don't know how, I must have accidentally said 30,000 or something, but it was only around 3,000 people. It still was a very large church, and we had all, we become very comfortable in that church. But
Tim, this is an unbelievable teaching moment. How did you get the attention of the pastors?
Oh, you know, now, and I'm going to tell you, this was an incredible movement. You're right. Pastors, you know, here's the good news. They know something's wrong in the world right now. With everything going on around us, you are basically in the opening volleys of what we call a civil war. And the pastors know it. And unfortunately, if they don't rise up now and take back the country for Christ, you know, we're going to go back into the dark ages where Christian persecution will be it's just going to go off the charts. So, you know, they met me and we got together as what we called an emergency clergy response team. Now, I didn't tell them exactly what it was about, other than it was directly related to the city they're in. Now, that piqued the pastor's curiosity, and we had a restaurant that had a quiet room in it, and this is where I leveled them. I laid it out to them. This is what's happening in the church. Now, I'm not calling out any one of you directly, but if this is happening in your church, then be on notice. The Holy Spirit is moving within your community, and you're going to get spit out if you are lukewarm. And so it is essential that you become the salt and light in your city. And the game plan was clear. First of all, you need to take back the halls of authority within your community. I want you to rise up, incubate, and bring in Christian men and women back into the civic halls of authority and power where they belong. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, Coach. I would trust Joe the plumber, who is a born-again, Jesus-loving Christian, who doesn't have any formal education, to make a decision over some Harvard, Yale graduate, a heathen that knows everything about politics, but knows nothing about who the commander in chief really is.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, and so I would rather.
How many came at that first meeting, Tim?
I'm sorry. We had about 25 people. We had five pastors. One of the pastors led me to a private conference. Now, here's the beauty of it. I met with 15 black pastors. I got into an inner circle with those guys. It was incredible. And I just loved on them. I told them a truth. I laid out the whole Margaret Sanger story. Some of the younger ones were absolutely in shock. I don't know if they believed it or not. Some of the older pastors were well on board. And so, you know, we are rising up Pomona. We're praying that God leads an incredible revival here within the city, and that this spreads to other communities. And again, I want to reiterate, we had zero Christians interacting with the government. And, you know, and I pulled off some friends and I says, listen, I know you guys are all into NFL and sports and all this garbage, but that's a pastime. And guess what? That time is past. It's over. In fact, if you don't see God shutting the door on the sports right now, now I love sports dearly, but you know what? That is a pastime. Rise up and get into the arena now.
What the Lord just said to me? The Lord just said to me, we got to quit passing time and start redeeming the time. See, to redeem the time, because not pass it, redeem it, because the time is short.
Amen. We got to redeem that time. And so these men are rising up. And here's the thing. The churches don't know how to engage the community. So we talked about something briefly on the phone, you and I, and that is that us who are a little more further down the road, we need to become assistant coaches and help these players on the field. Get them on the field. Okay, you. Get off the bench right now. You're not doing anything. You go sit down in the mush pot for a while because you're not doing anything. You come into the and seriously, we need some assistant coaches to drive these men off the pews into city halls, into the school board rooms, into places like Judge Moore. Praise God for somebody like Judge Moore. But he's just the beginning. We need to have
Kim. The church is coming out, right? The church is coming out in Pomona.
Yes, this is the time. This is the time the church is being energized across the country. Now's the time for the pastors to say, rise up, men, and take your absolute ordained positions within the community now. And I'm telling you this, if we don't do this, if we don't rise up and we remain apathetic, I don't know if, you know, I mean, Trump has his foot in the door for a minute. Because, we don't, he's at the top. If we don't get the bottom and the ground game going from the bottom up, we're going to lose this country quick. And the church is going to be the first to suffer. I guarantee it. I promise you that. We're going to feel
it. Let me open up the queue here. Anybody got a question or comment here for Tim?
First of all, Tim, thanks for what you do, brother. Amen.
This is Vince from Brooklyn.
Thanks, Vince.
Anything else, Vince?
For now, but thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. JR. Come on, man, jump. JR, very, go ahead, JR.
Very, very impressive. And I'm really, envious of what you've done, because I've seen men do what you, or try to do what you did, with no response. And the fact that you got a response says something, because you're one in a thousand or one in a million. Good for you for doing what you did.
Awesome. See, Tim, pardon me, JR. You know what amazes me, Tim? There's a pastor-laity division, right? The pastor's at the top and little old Tim. Who's little old Tim? How did you get past that, Tim, where you had the boldness and the courage to go to the pastors as little old Tim and say, thus saith the Lord? How did they receive that, Tim?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, when the Lord laid it on my heart, I knew it was from him. So you have a divine commission when he lays something on your heart. Now you got to get up and get her done. That's all there is to it. That was just like when he laid it on Jonah's heart. I want you to go to Nineveh. This is what I want you to do. Now I've lived enough life to know if I ignore that calling, I may be dragged by the nose of my hair, my nose, to the project that I should have gotten to in the first place. So rather than running from my responsibility, I prayed a while ago, Lord, allow me to move quicker to your calling. Allow me to hear your voice and respond quicker without a hesitant heart. And that's what I did. And the cool thing is, I was on my way to a meeting regarding this one day, and I was driving down the freeway. And I was having one of those moments of doubt, you know, because that's the devil when he whispers in your ear. That's how he works. He whispers garbage in your ear. And you know, if he gets you in a soft moment, he can tear you down. So you have to have your armor on as these arrows come in. The Ephesians tells you how to get your armor on, your helmet on. Well, if he sees a little crook in your helmet, he'll throw an arrow right in your ear, and it'll say things like, what are you doing? You have no authority. You can't do any of this. You're just a failure. Look at your past. Look at your fail. And, you know, right about then, I'm driving down the freeway, and I saw a woman. I could see her eyes. She's on the other side of the freeway. And I'm telling you what, we're all going 70 miles. I'm in the fast lane, and she was going the other way. And she literally made a coming the other way, coming the westbound, the eastbound, I was going westbound, her car took a complete U-turn and ran straight into, as if it was going to hit my car like a T-bone. And I'm telling you what, Coach, everything went in slow motion. I saw everything. It was the strangest thing. I saw the hood crumpling up real slow. I saw the back end of the car as it ran into that K-rail, you know, that concrete barrier in the center. It hit straight on. I saw the whole back end. And I'm like, I'm like, Lord, what am I seeing? Lord, what is this? Lord, what is this? And God responded to me. He says, you see that concrete barrier? That's me. Had that concrete barrier not been there, I would have been a dead man. And yet he was that concrete barrier. And you know what? He is the concrete barrier. Nothing is going to happen to you without his ordination. He is not, if you're in his will, you're doing what he wants you to do, you absolutely have all authority from the Holy Spirit to do what you need to do to get that job done. And it was a chilling moment for me, but he will do things to infirm and instill your faith because it's a personal walk with Christ. And it's been an incredible thing. I will tell you from a perspective of pastors, one of the things that I did is I let them know right away, I'm not asking for any money. I'm not asking for, we're not from any organization. I'm not from some group. I'm not from some, thing where we're going to try to lasso you into doing something. No, I'm here as a remnant body of the whole body of Christ worldwide. I'm just one person. And you know what? And I want to tell you that helped put their guard down, because if, you know, all these people have tried to help bring pastors together, but usually pastors are so inundated with this group or that group or this group or that group. But you know what pierces right through all of that? I am here from the direct calling of the Holy Spirit into this community.
Amen.
And,
so, and you ain't no pastor. You're just a guy that I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more, right? Somebody got to do something.
That's right. Well, that's right.
Jared, go to my Facebook page real quick, because there's something that ties right into this. Brian, I'm going to have to. Brian, I'm sorry. Tim, we're going to have you. You've been very enlightening. But not only that, there's a powerful anointing that's resting on you, brother. I hope you recognize that as such. Jared, you get to my Facebook page. It's got a thing there that says, "This is so powerful." This is a little 5-minute video that was put together by Operation Save America. I want you to listen to this 5 minutes. These are outtakes of a sermon that Jason Storms gave at the OSA event. And I want you to listen to this. And you tell me if he is not echoing what brother Tim is echoing here. This is about 5 minutes. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Stop hiding behind the courts. The courts have often been wrong. They have often been resisted, often been defied. Because we have a court, we have a court system that has been the vehicle for ushering in all kinds of evil that circumvented the democratic process in this country. But how many of you know that you can have power but not have authority? Thank God for that. When they said that a black man or woman was not a human being, they were wrong. Abortion wasn't voted and legalized by the people of this state. It was foisted by 7 black robe justices. But what happened is we rolled over like Saul and the Israelites hiding in the cave before the Philistines. And so we are in the position we are in as a nation, with blood-stained hands. And largely, it is us as the church that needs to look in the mirror and recognize the blood is on our hands. How is it that in so many states in our country, we have elected pro-life majorities? Pro-life governors, pro-life legislators, pro-life churches spread across the landscape, and yet abortion continues unabated. If the pro-life organizations in the pulpits are saying, we only want this, we'll take the crumbs, and that's all we'll ever get is crumbs. It is incumbent upon us as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to raise the standard high, to raise the banner high, and not compromise, and accept nothing less than the declaration, the proclamation that abortion is murder, it needs to end today. If you call yourself pro-life, you call yourself a Christian, and you have power, you have authority, then end it now. We have had a failure of leadership a failure of courage.
There will always be some new incremental pragmatic strategy given to us, attempting to get past the courts, attempting to get the court's approval, attempting to bow down at the Goliath's feet and saying, I'll take a crumb and I'll go back to my cave. And so we came here with a different message. Every single pro-life Christian, every single pro-life leader, every single pro-life organization, every single pro-life politician in this state stood up and said, we will accept nothing less than the complete and total abolition of abortion today. It will end today. Amen? And we can accept nothing less. We can accept nothing less.
Man, oh man, oh man, boys, there's what it's about. There's what it's about. Just got about 3 minutes left here, trying to figure out how to wrap this thing up. Tim, come back in here, man, and encourage the people who are watching that they can make a difference right where they live. Not only can they, Tim, but they have to.
This is your time. This is your time. Rise up, O church, rise up. I'm telling you right now, I'm a nobody. I'm just a regular Joe the Plumber type guy, really. And God can use you mightily in your community. You just must act. Get up and get off the pew. Coach is right. And if you have a little coaching skills, get up and coach. And if you're going to a dead church, get up and get out. Get into a body of Christ that's alive. And I'm just telling you right now, if you hear the Lord's heart, if you hear his voice, humble your heart and get in tune with his will, and he will protect you and guide you and get you onto the battlefield, which is what you were designed as a man to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to jump in? Got a couple minutes.
Tim, thank you.
I want to thank all of you. Thank you, Coach, for your inspiration. Over the years, I've listened to you, and I have been touched. I've had my wife listen to you. You have some things that you've done that I've brought.
You got muted, Tim.
You need to unmute yourself.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
I just want to thank you, Coach, for your inspiration over the years. You've been an awesome coach, and I've brought you into many men's meeting groups where I've put you some videos of you, because if I don't know what to say, I'll tell you what, I got a coach that'll tune you up real quick.
Amen.
Thank you for all you've done, Coach.
And Tim, you've got the church in the street out there, brother. You got the church in the street, and we're going to plan a rally out there. We're going to come out, and we're going to put other men beside you, and we're going to close down. The Lord gave you the vision to close down that abortion clinic in Pomona, California. And brother, we're going to do it.
Amen. Let's do it. Lock arms.
Amen, baby. With God, all things are possible. God, Tim, thanks for being with us this morning. It's been, I thank you for the phone call. Thank you for reaching out. And thank you for sharing with us today, man. It has been absolutely unbelievable.
Tim.
Yes.
Tim, one real quick thing. I hope you are aware that in most states, I don't know California law that well, but in most states, individual cities can make laws that are contrary to state laws. Like Pomona can pass an ordinance that no killing of any human being can take place in the city of Pomona, not even under the guise of women's health.
Sanctuary cities for the unborn.
Agreed.
Sanctuary cities for the unborn.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that. And whether it's legal or not, we're going to do it because we want the city council to rebuke this from their positions of power. The will of the people is rising up, and we want to rebuke this and puke this abortion out of our city. We should do it across the country. And thank you for all of your support. And may God be with you and your efforts in Florida and Texas. I hear you're going to Puerto Rico.
I'd have to swim. How about this one? Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings.
Amen.
Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. God bless you, Tim. God bless all of you in the queue. And man, let's stand up and do something great for God. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.